a pasuk in this week's parsha, just to try to share with you the gedorim, the parameters of this halacha. And I'll be matim by noting the following, and that is that someone spoke to me. It wasn't any of you. But some young man came to speak to me. It is not the first time this year, two or three times, and they told me the following. They say that there's a practice to, when you call, or when you quote someone of great stature, you quote them in the third person. They said to me, this young man, a Shalal student in Yeshiva, that he sees that, first of all, to stand up for a Rebbe. Why should I stand up for every single Rebbe? The Rebbe may be 5 years older than I am. Why am I standing up for him? Number two, not only am I standing up for him, but also I have to speak to him in the third person. What is the nature of that? Why should I do that? And a whole series of questions that relate to that issue. So I thought maybe I would discuss that issue, which is based on a pasuk in this week's parsha. The pasuk says, "Neseva tokum v'hadarta b'nei zokein." I assume you're all probably somewhat familiar with the pasuk. And we have, as I mentioned yesterday in the shir, that there are many, many mitzvahs found in these psukim. And Kedoshim is saturated with mitzvahs. So here the Torah uses that language. And also, there's another expression that Rashi already comments on. I assume you're familiar with that as well. The pasuk says, "Nesei v'atakum v'adata b'nei zakein v'yareisa mi'alokecha ani Hashem." Here it's in Perek Yutet pasuk lamed beis. So there are two parts of this pasuk. Just to translate it first, "Bnei Seva Takum." How do you translate the word Seva? An elderly person, correct? Generally, Seva, the literal translation, it refers really to someone who is. I think that someone showed me a translation. Someone who is quote unquote hoary headed, H-O-A-R-Y-H-E-A-D-E-D. That means full of white hair. So that is not how the Targum here translates. The Targum Onkelos, my father, Shalom, I heard this. Targum Onkelos, min kodom disabar b'oraisa. Someone who is loaded in terms of his knowledge of Torah. Tukum utahader v'hadarta b'nei zokein. And then someone who's a zokein, you should be mahader, you should treat him in a very bakovedik kind of way. V'yareisa me'elokech ani Hashem. So as you remember, Rashi says that that expression is used a number of times in Kedoshim with reference to what? That only Hashem knows whether a person is, shall we say, doing something authentically or not authentically. Rashi says, "Darazem masel lelibo shaloseil." Shein makir elohu. Only Hashem will know whether you did it. Let's say a person sometimes will give tzedakah, but he really has no interest in giving tzedakah. Someone sort of compelled him, constrained him to give tzedakah, and he did so because that seems to be the social thing to do. So that is not obviously ideal. So only Hashem knows whether you gave it authentically or not, and that's why it says in the pasuk, "Be'areisim elokecha." So this pasuk consists of a number of elements. Number one, neseva takum, the obligation to get up from someone who's older. What is exactly called the seva? The pasuk of Machlokes, someone who reached the age of 60, someone who reached the age of 70. So my father, Vashon, taught me as a very young man, I was literally, I'm not exaggerating, you'll find this to be probably comical, almost buffoonery. I'm in kindergarten, and my father taught me to stand up for every mora that I had. Mora. I was 3 years old, 4 years old. I started standing up for every teacher. I stood up not only for the morot, women teachers who taught us in kindergarten. I stood up for every rebbe that I've ever had in my entire life. And guess what? The math teacher who taught me in fourth grade, I stood up for her as well. Was I obligated to do so? Is that part of Neseba Toku? What's that second part of the pasuk? What is that referring to? Okay, so I want to just share with you a little bit. I jotted down for myself just a few notes, if you don't mind, here and there. In the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, I read the language. Even if the person is not an elderly individual, not the age of 60, not the age of 70, we have Baruch Hashem, Rabbi and Mrs. Shiva, who are, as far as I know, they're not 60 or 70 yet, but they are outstanding Talmidei Chacham, outstanding Torah scholars. Yonik v'chacham. The Gemara says in Kedushin that Seba is one obligation, and then Zokin is the second obligation. These are two separate obligations that the Torah speaks about over here. Seba means an older person. As I said, someone who's white-headed, hoary-headed. A Zokin means a Chacham. In Yerodei, a similar Reish Mem Dalet, the Losh of the Mechaber is, Afilu Yonik V'chochim, even let's say a young person, we have here Sanyon Rabbeim, who are outstanding Talmidei Chachamim. And you have to get up in their presence. The Shachin Taz says, you can have a person, even after Bar Mitzvah, can be such a Talmid Chacham, which is amazing. The Ramah writes, Kol Shu Gadol Heimenu, Haroi Lilma Bimenu Mitzvah Lam Min Panav. If someone is greater than I am, that's not saying too much. You have a lot of people who are greater than I am easily. So someone who's greater than I am in Torah, so there's an obligation. I can learn from that person, and I can learn from everyone. There's a mitzvah, lam mi panim. The Shach says, Dafka, if he's muflog mistam b'nei adam, not just stam b'tam chocham, but he's a great tam chocham. So the Shach writes. Now, they say over that the Vilna Gaon, I heard this from Rav Soloveitchik. He said the Vilna Gaon, at a very young age, was already a tam chocham muflog. Was an incredible Talmud Chacham. And the Rogachava, maybe you heard the Rogachava Gaon was a genius. Both of these people were geniuses. And unquestionably, they already saw as a young age that he was going to be one of the Dolei Hador, both of them. So, again, as I said, this halacha, which is consists of two sections, one is an older person, and two is someone who's a great Talmud Chacham. Older person, let's say, would be the age minimally 60, perhaps even 70. And then the second refers to a Talmud Chacham, someone who's acquired a lot of Torah knowledge. They say over the Ari HaKadosh that the Ari HaKadosh, and I saw this in the Taz here, and I started learning these halachas today in Yerodeya, that again, generally speaking, these are two separate dinim that are relevant, but undoubtedly, someone who's very old, much older than the ages I mentioned to you, for sure there's a din of getting up in their presence. The question is whether, what would you say? Is this a din daraisa? The answer is, of course it is. It's a pasuk in Chumash. They say, we're talking about da'at ibn ezokin. Now the question is, what about a woman who's an elderly person? Is also an obligation to stand up for a woman who has that age, or there are women who are today, talmidei chachamim, women who are very knowledgeable in Torah. I said in a positive way, there are such women. And the Michas Chinuch discusses this question I saw today, and he indicates that someone, certainly, if they reach a level of Arichas Yomim, let's say an older woman, there's no question there's a chiyuv to stand up for her, in shum something. The only question is regarding, as I said, the other aspect of the pasuk, a woman who's very knowledgeable, is there an obligation? I just want to mention another obligation, which is the Gemara in Kedushin, and Mishnah Bikurim. I imagine you're probably familiar with it. I always tell over the following story, and I've said it many times here, and I'll say it again, and you probably will get a kick out of it. So, last week was Agoyin Davar Lichasin Zatzal's Yortzai, and I spoke in my shul. I was a Talmud Davar Lichasin in the late 60s, and later on he came to the Grus here. He was the Rosh Kollel, official of the Grus Rabbi Miller. Agoyin Davar Miller Shlita is the de facto Rosh Kollel. De jure, Davar Lichasin was the Rosh Kollel here. He used to come once a week, and he would come and say a shir. And so that's how I had continued my connection with him. And unfortunately, some of the Avrechim in this Kodel did not come to the shir. Why? Because the shir was given in Hebrew. And Avaron spoke a very high level Hebrew, and they had difficulty understanding him. So at one point, Avaron Lichasin came over to me and asked me, do you think I should change the shir from Hebrew to English? So I said, why is he asking me? And I asked him, why is he asking me? I said, why did he ask Agoyin Nadavim Miller, who's a Talmud of his for 50 years? Ken Yibu. I may have asked him in good health. He said, why did he ask Agoyin Nadavim Miller? He said, Rabbi Nadavim Miller said to ask Rabbi Avishai David. That's what Rabbi Chassin told me. So I was put into a difficult situation. So I didn't answer. Who am I to tell Rabbi Chassin to go to Ador? What to do? So every week he came to me, because I came to the shiur every week. No, did you decide? He spoke to me in Hebrew. I just couldn't say a word. Finally, I saw he was getting exasperated. So I said to him, he pressed me. I said, yeah, he should switch the shir from Hebrew to English. So that week, before he came to the shir, it's to come on Sunday, before he came, I went to every single Avreich of the Kolom and told them, you must come to the shir this week. Rav Lichasin is saying the shir in English, it'll be easy as a breeze, no problem whatsoever. We'll have a great time. It's Givaldik on the Dole Ador. That Sunday, every single Avreich of the Kolo came. Rav Lichasin was beaming from ear to ear. He comes over to me after the shir. He said, Shokoyach, thank you so much. Look what happened. So I thought it was also great. The next week, not one of them showed up. So I was astounded. what happened? So I went on each one, and they told me, now he's his Hebrew beyond us, his English is also beyond us. We didn't know what he's talking about. Okay, that's not why I'm telling you the story. That's just a hakdama. So the story is, I'm at a wedding. I've said this over the story many times. Davar Luchenstein and Rav Amital, the two Rashi Yeshiva of the Gush. I've said this story many times. And I saw it happen several times. And the chassan comes down, and you know, the chassan walks down, everyone stands up. Chassan Daim Lamelech. Chazal tell us, everyone stands up. You stand up for a king. That's a din. You're supposed to be Mechabe the king. That's also Gemara. So Rav Luchenstein stands up, Rav Amital stands up, I stand up, everyone stands up. Then the kala comes down. So everyone stands up for the kala. So I stood up as well. Rav Amital stands up, Rav Luchenstein does not stand up. So Rav Amital says to Rav Luchenstein in Yiddish, why isn't he standing up? So Rav Luchenstein says to him in Yiddish, because I'm thinking through all of Shas, and I don't see a marker to stand up for the kala. So he said. So Rav Amital says to Rav Luchenstein, "Shtei tochen amishna al tifrosh min atzibur." The Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Don't separate from the tzibur. So right away, Rav Luchenstein stands up. Yeah. So after the chuppah, I asked Rav Luchenstein, "Why did he stand up? If there's no marker of standing up for a kala?" He said, "What do you mean? The Rashiva told me to stand up, and I listened to Rashiva. I didn't want to say. I thought he was the Rashiva, or at least one of the two Rashi Yeshiva. No, he held up Amital to be the Rosh Yeshiva, because he founded the yeshiva, and he was simply working there as an employee in the yeshiva." That shows the anova of Avraham Luchenstein. Fine. A few months later, I'm at another chuppah. Guess what? Rav Luchenstein and Rav Amital are there as well. The exact same story occurs. I couldn't believe what's going on here. The chassan goes down, everyone stands up. The kala comes down, Rav Luchenstein is sitting down, everyone is standing. Rav Amital says to Rav Luchenstein in Yiddish, "Why are you standing? Why are you sitting, not standing?" He says, "Because I'm thinking, there's no marker for standing up for the kala." I said, "Deja vu, what's going on over here? No marker for standing up for the kala?" So, "Al tibur shman atibur," right away he stands up. I go to Rav Luchenstein a second time after the chuppah. "Why did he stand up? Behold, there's no marker for this." He said, "The Rashiva told me to stand up, and I stood up." About a year later, another chuppah. And I'm also there. Of course, you'll ask, what am I doing in their company? I stalk the Dole Yisrael, that's what I do for a living. Anyway, so I'm literally right next to them. The same exact story occurs the third time. So after the chuppah, I go to Rav Luchenstein and said, "Why are we engaged in this kind of game? This is the third time." He smiles at me and said, "Are you aware of the fact that you asked me the following question three times? Can you go up to Har HaBayis? You asked me over a period of 21 years. First you asked me a question, can you go up to Har HaBayis? And I told you that my Shvera is opposed to it. Rav Soloveitchik was opposed to going up to Har HaBayis, so I can't go against my Shvera. He's a, quote, a colossus." That's how we describe Rav Soloveitchik. That means someone pretty big. "And therefore, I cannot argue with my Shvera." Then about 7 years later, you asked me the question a second time. I was partially embarrassed like anything. First of all, the guy, he remembers everything. And he tells you the number of years that passed between first time and second time. And then you asked me, you waited about another 11 years, and you asked me the question a third time. So just like you're a Sharmud, I'm also a Sharmud, with that big smile of his. Sharmud means an ox that grew three times. Okay, so why am I telling you this story? I saw Avraham Luchenstein with his parents, Zecher Tzadikim Bevracha. His father was blind towards the end of his life. I saw Avraham Luchenstein with his, not just his parents, but his Shver. Rav Soloveitchik used to come and say Shir, Tshuva Drashas, and Yotzei Shurim, and Avraham would always come to meet him, and the moment Avraham saw his Shver, he would start galloping at top speed. Avraham was a great athlete, an outstanding athlete. I actually even played basketball with him. He had a wicked hook shot. But when someone would foul him, I told you this, when someone would foul him, he'd say, "Oh, excuse me, I apologize profusely." They fouled him, and he apologized to them. That's the way he used to go on. Anyway, so when his shver would come, I never saw such derech eretz in my entire life. Not only would he get up, he would start running at top speed. There was nothing he couldn't do for his shver, for his father-in-law. Nothing. He put on his rubbers, his galoshes, he put on his coat, helped him with his hat, carried off his sperm. I was astounded. And I saw the same with his parents. The end of his life, the end of their lives, his father was blind. So Avraham in the yeshiva, the gush, I wasn't there, but I heard this from many, many people. He would literally sit in the back of his medrash on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, say over word for word the entire tefillah for his father. He literally came out, picked up his father and mother, carried them where they had to go. I never saw anything like this. Such kibbutz aim was remarkable. But it was also, they say, we're talking about that when I saw him. Anyway, there's a Gemara Kedushin that you may be familiar, that's the Mishnah Bikurin that I was about to mention. The Gemara says there's an obligation, even for a Baal Masid, someone who is known as a big individual, who's a practitioner of wonderful deeds, of Al Chesed, of Al Tzedakah. I'll tell you a conversation I had in 1983. My wife and I was zeicha to meet Hagoyim of Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal in Muncie. He was 93 years old at that time. He passed away 2 years later. In 1983. He passed away in 85. So we went to see him for all kinds of reasons. And while I was there, so we were supposed to be there for 10, 15 minutes. Of course, knowing me, I was there for about an hour and 45 minutes. I decided I may ply him with all my questions, with all my marriage guidance that I had. I had to go to the door right in front of me. He was trapped. Why shouldn't I take advantage of it? So I did. And my wife was basically trying to kick me the whole time to, what's with me? She couldn't understand why she married this guy, all kinds of things. Anyway, but okay. So anyway, among the things we discussed was the following question. I asked him, what's the makor for the following? There's a minog, I assume you're aware of it. When do you give tzedakah in the morning? You're supposed to give tzedakah before davening. At what point? So often shuls, bali tzedakah come around, the gaboyim, and they, the pushka, etc. When do they do it? At what point? By Baruch David, why? Because it says over there, following line, the ha'osher v'akavim mifanecha v'yata moshe v'akol. We are acknowledging the fact that really everything, wealth belongs to Hashem, is Baruch, and we are willing to share with others that which we have, the wherewithal that Hashem blessed us with, and that's what you do. But there's also another minute to stand up at that point in time. Why in heaven's name are we standing up? You know, the Sfardim, they just sit the entire time. So do we have any Sfardim here? For some reason they don't like me. Anyway, but the Kitzur, so the we do have a few Sfardim. I don't know where they went. Anyway, the Kitzur, so the Sfardim, they sit down the entire time. That's a Rama. Rama said they're not like the Ashkenazim, who are essentially a bunch of yo-yos. Baal Shamar, up. Down for Hodu. Mizvah Lasoda, up. Down for the rest. Yishtabach, up. His father would sit the entire time. That's a Rambam. So ideally, one should sit the entire tefillah. Why? It's based on a famous Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Shal yeshiva shom b'yizkei ha-mitzvah. He should emar ashrei yoshvei b'yisecha. The Rambam interpreted ashrei yoshvei. Happy are those who sit in your home. Of course, that's not what it means. What does it mean, ashrei yoshvei b'yisecha? Happy are those who dwell. And this is the subject of also a Rambam and a Raibid and a Rosh at the end of the fourth parak of Sukkah and another discussion with Rishonim had, because what is the word Ashrei Yoshvei. Yoshvei means, as you said, to dwell. It doesn't mean to sit. The Rambam interpreted physically to sit. Shal yeshiva shom yizkei ha-mitzvah. The mitzvah is to sit in the shul. So yeshiva is the proper practice. Ashkenazim, all kinds of minhagim, we're yo-yos, we go up and down, etc., etc. But the Sfardim sit the entire time, with the exception of Shem Tzibur, and the Shemoneh Esrei, of course, that you stand up. Anyway, so why are we standing? I guess, Hagoyim Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, Ve'oishah HaKom Mifanecha. Said Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky to me, something which, Ad Hayom Hazeh, I hope I'll never forget the rest of my life. He said, what do you mean? You forgot a Gemara Kedushin? Of course, I never knew it. Did you forget a Mishnah Bikurim? I never knew it. Told me, what Mishnah, what Gemara Kedushin is he talking about? That the Mishnah writes in Bikurim that when the pilgrims used to come to Yerushalayim, pilgrims means those who didn't live in Yerushalayim, they came by Leila Regel, the guy in the midst of Leila Regel, so the whole, when the people who come to greet them, they everyone stand up in their presence. Why? They're coming to do a mitzvah, to bring Bikurim, and a Baal Masim, someone who does wonderful deeds, you have to stand up in his presence. Said Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the guy right tzedakah is now at this point. Oshe, I come v'fanecha with the pushka. You're supposed to give tzedakah. It's based on the Ariya Kodesh. You're supposed to show Avos Abrios before you come to Avos Hashem. Some people do it before davening, whatever the case is. And therefore, there a bal maaseh, a wonderful deed is about to happen, about to transpire. And so you're supposed to stand up in front of the fellow who's about to do the wonderful deed. That's what I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I never heard something so original in my entire life. And then to prove it, Rabbi Yaakov says, Chas and Vikala are about to get married. And according to the Rambam Pshita, it's a mitzvah say. It says the Rambam, Paragal V'chazishos, right at the beginning, V'likuchad Eilu mitzvah say shal terem. No one else holds a mitzvah say. The Rambam Kedushin, the Miriam Kedushin, the Abnei Malach, they point out to Hechshem mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah through a vu. Well, because according to the Rambam, is a mitzvah say to get married. So therefore, marriage is a mitzvah according to the Rambam. And what do you do if someone's about to do a mitzvah? You stand up. I heard this from a guy named Kamenetsky. I was astounded. So he's right, Rabbi Lichtenstein. There's no makor per se to stand up for a kala, but if assuming there's a mitzvah, say on both the, how do I know there's a mitzvah on the kala to get married? Is she mechid to get married? Only the chassan mechid to get married. Yeah, it's a mishnah kedushin of the malaf. It says mitzvah bo yosef b'shulcha, mitzvah bo yosef b'shulcha. Applies to both husband and wife. My rabbi Anisim Albin once told me it's a mashmos of the gemara in Beitza, also like that. They're both obligated to get married. Okay, I'm coming back to the topic because it's just like a little aside. Anyway, so the so there's a din of getting up. So in Shulchan Aruch, actually, he writes over here, and I also jotted down for myself, Simei Reish Mem Dalin. It says over here that Chacham, even a Talmud Chacham, I feel who muflag b'chachma, someone who's a massive Talmud Chacham, Rashoi Ramav Nebal Masin, means a Chacham also has to be careful, and also is allowed to get up in front of someone who's about to do a big mitzvah. So now the question is, what about the person about to do a big mitzvah is an amoretz, not someone so knowledgeable? Would it be proper, would it be appropriate for the Talmud Chacham to stand up? Would that be proper Kavod HaTorah? A Chacham has to be very careful with Kavod HaTorah. He should be mezalzel in Kavod HaTorah. But in general, for Baal Masim, it says here in Shulchan Aruch that a Talmud Chacham should stand up as well. I saw the Shach over here, right, he quotes from Mishonim, Chayav Lamor Miponach. And that's how generally we pass on the Halacha. There's a Chiyuv. There are three Chiyuvim that the Pasuk is telling us. One is Neseba Tokim, someone who's older, whatever the age is, 60, 70. But secondly, Zokin, namely a Talmud Chacham, Shekona Chachma, the Chiyuv to stand up. And thirdly, a Baal Masim, someone who is about to engage in some wonderful action, whatever that action may be. And even if the person is a young person, the halacha requires us to stand up in their presence. So I was constantly standing up in the presence of all my teachers. That's what my father, Roshom, taught me. And I remember in shul, I was like bobbing up and down all day and all night. Anytime a rav came in or anyone of age, my father would stand up, and I had no choice but to stand up. Otherwise, it would be a sabbis hakon. So that was the issue. I probably would not be around to tell the tale. So therefore, biguach nevish is better than Torah kula. So there's a sabbis biguach nevish. Anyway, so that's how I was trained, that's how I was raised, and what have you. I have actually some of my children who are unbelievable. That's because of a good wife. If you marry well, you're in good shape. So that's why they're in good shape. Anyway, the kids are, so one of them actually has a, I can't walk into a room without him standing up for me. So because of that, I feel I'm not going to the kach, and I go other ways to avoid him, like the plague, so he shouldn't have to go stand up. That's a din of Shulchan Aruch, by the way. How often do you have to stand up? It's a Gemara Kedushin. Not many, not 78 times a day. There's no such halacha. Otherwise, you'd be in Beis Medrash. That's all you'd be doing is bobbing up and down, and that would not be an approach. So there's no chiyuv to do so. But there's certainly a general chiyuv. The Gemara has a comment about Metzia. You probably learned Elam Metzias, so you probably remember this Gemara. We did that when we were fifth grade. No, did you start learning the Gemara with Elam Metzias? The Gemara says, "Tamid Chacham Shebevaro Omdim Zeb Nezeb." Rashi explains over there. One Talmud Chacham stands up for another Talmud Chacham. They're learning in the same Beis Medrash, and they're obviously there's a lot of Maso and Mata and Pilpo between them. That's what you guys do all day, Baruch Hashem. So therefore, each one learns from his Chaver. I'm sure each one of you have Chavrusas, the morning, afternoon, at night, whatever you do, etc. And therefore, there are Chiyuvim, and one has a Chiyuv to be Mechaber Yachaber. That's what Gemara says. So B'nai Yeshiva, Lomdi Torah, people learn Mechavrusas. According to the Ikra Adin, they have to show Kavod to each one. And that's what Gemara says in Yavamas over there. Why we have Avelos of Sphira? Because we are not knowing Kavod, Zelazeh. We didn't treat our chaverim properly. I have chaverim that I was zeichet to learn with who are master Talmidei Chachamim. Very great, really great Torah scholars. Much, way, way beyond anything that I ever achieved in my lifetime. And there's an obligation. When I see them, I stand up for them beyond. Immediately. Because there's so many people of great stature. What about, let's say, a Zokin who's a non-Jew? That's the issue. Is there an obligation to stand for a non-Jew? So the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam writes, says, Mahadin also bidvorim. You have to speak to Midrash Kovod. You have to, let's say, the Gemara has a Kedusha, a very fascinating Gemara. I think I told over the story. I had an aunt at the age of approximately 80. She decided to go and get a university degree. Why, I do not know. She lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She wasn't, unfortunately, an observant Jewish woman. She never really got into Jewish observance. But she decided to go ahead and get a college degree. And so they gave her, I think it was 120 credits at that time, university required. They gave her about 85, 90 credits just for walking into the university because a Gemara in Kedusha, they probably refer to that Gemara in Kedusha. I can't imagine otherwise. The Gemara says, but Rabbi Yochanan, he used to stand up for an elderly Gentile, because he was obviously, he had life's experience. And someone who has that kind of life's experience certainly is worthy of standing up for. So the Shulchan Aruch writes about a non-Jew who's a Zokin. There's also a mitzvah to be mechabed them by treating them nicely, covered up rios. And that's something that is also something that we should be cognizant of. Now, what about an Eishes Chaver? Let's say the wives of all the Rabbeim and Ayeshiva. That's called an Eishes Chaver. The Gemara says in Shavuos that Eishes Chaver kechaver. The wife of a Chaver is like a Chaver. Even if she's not an older person, there's a mitzvah of covered on Torah. So the Mashma of the Gemara in Shavuos and Rishonim over there, that there's a Chiyav da'oraisa to stand for the wife of a Talmid Chacham. So my father, Shalom, taught me this halacha. I used to stand up for the wife of every Rav that I was zochet to be in contact with, and their wives. So the Gemara tells about the wife of Rav Huna, that she saw Rav Nachman, apparently that once she came to Rav Nachman for a din Torah, and the Gemara there raised the following question. The Gemara says that since there's a mitzvah, lamo miponel, to stand up in the presence of a Eishes Talmid Chacham, on the other hand, a dayan has to be careful not to what? Show favoritism. That's a puzzling chumash. That's something that we're all familiar with. I imagine you're aware of that. The dying shots spells favoritism. So now he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. So what did he do? So he did some sort of a kunz that he stood up a little bit and it didn't look like he was standing up completely, but partially in order to be mekayeh this mitzvah of Eishes Chaver kechaver, at the same time not to show favoritism to one of the two parties. But there is such a din that in the lifetime of the Chaver of the Talmid Chacham, that one should actually be mechabit as well, the wife of the Talmid Chacham, based on this principle called Eishes Chaver kechaver. What about a blind person, someone who can't see and will not recognize, will not be aware of the fact that you stood up for that individual? He won't see the cover that you're showing him. So this is the subject of a lot of discussion among the Gdolei HaPoskim. I saw in the Birkei Yosef, I saw it quoted. Birkei Yosef is the Chidon. He wrote a Sefer of Halacha. So I saw quoted that he brings Poskim to say, you're the Mechuyav to go ahead and stand up even in the presence of the Summa. And he points out over there that, okay, even though there's what to, one could argue regarding this matter, but it's clear that in general one should be mechabed people who are of stature and people who are of age. And this halacha is actually found at great length. The one who discusses this is the Chafetz Chaim in the Psichot of the Chafetz Chaim Sefer, and that's where I actually gleaned a lot of this information that I'm sharing with you right now. I took it from the Chafetz Chaim, I wrote it down for myself. And I saw that he writes an example. Let's say a person, God forbid, and this is only the Chafetz Chaim can make statements like this. Unbelievable, the Chafetz Chaim and his genius. And you see it in the Mishnah Berurah, and you see it in all of his Svarim. You know what they say, the only suffix about the Chafetz Chaim was what was greater, his Geinus or his Tzidkus. That's the only suffix that I had, the same suffix about Avraham Lichtenstein. The only suffix I had, he never spoke about Lashon Hara his entire life. I only was suffix whether his greatness, his greatness and stupendous knowledge of Torah was greater, or sickness, his righteousness, his behavior, which was really absolutely marvelous, really beyond marvelous, I don't know how to describe it. So the Chafetz Chaim has a fascinating chiddush over here. Let's say I say Lashon Hara about a great Talmid Chacham. So the Chafetz Chaim says, not only am I over in the Isur of Lashon Hara, all the Lavim, all the Essen that are involved, I'm also over on another Mitzvah Haseh, namely, they say the Tokum Vadart of Nezokim. What a chiddush. I understand that I'm over on Lashon Hara. That I do understand. But I'm over on this issue as well. Says the Chafetz Chaim, yes. You're not supposed to be Pogea in the covenant of Talmidei Chachamim. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, one who says, Mayahan L'Rabbanan, that a person says he's Mavaza Talmid Chacham, he's an Apikores. He's someone who's a heretic. We view him, obviously, with disdain. And the fact of the matter is that we know what Hidur means. Hidur is L'yeshiv Bimkomo. You're familiar with the Gemara Kedushin, I assume. Kibud Av V'Eim. Then you see the positives, which are Kibud, and the negatives, which are obviously Mora, Kavan and Mora. But also with the Talmid Chacham, and the reference to a father, a lot of similar halachas. L'yeshiv Bimkomo, L'yisder as Devarav. You can't say to your father that you disagree with your father. So you say, hey, Pops, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a complete Amoritz. You are essentially someone who is totally not knowledgeable. You're totally wrong. That is awesome. And now to speak to a father like that, to a mother like that, and now to speak to a Talmid Chacham like that, that's inappropriate. That way you shouldn't speak to anybody like that. According to my humble opinion, you should try to speak respectfully to all people. And that's in general, this is a very significant halacha. But this din of Neseva talking about that, when they're talking, I'll tell you something else. The Chafetz Chaim writes, and Mr. Brewer, he writes this. If I speak Lashon Hara in the shul, you know what else I'm over on besides Lashon Hara? A pasuk in Chumash. Namely, the Tosfos says, Migdashi Tiro. Supposed to have more Migdash. And the Gemara says in Megillah, that a Beis HaKnes is a Migdash Ma'at. Pasuk in Yecheskel. Vayelan Migdash Ma'at. It's like a miniature kind of Beis HaMigdash. A microcosm of Beis HaMigdash. They open not only in Lashon Hara. And this is the symbol of the Chafetz Chaim that I just quoted a second ago. They say Lashon Hara against the Talmud Chacham, a great Gadol Batorah. So then you are over not just Lashon Hara, but on this mitzvah of Hadarta B'nei Zokin. So this is a very significant halacha. And I just want to read you the Lashon. I copied it down from the Chafetz Chaim. He writes over here the following. He says, Shetzivonu lechabed ha-chachomim u-legadol osav. We're supposed to honor them. We're supposed to treat them respectfully. And then he goes further, and he says over here, that kikibud a Talmud the Rabbo, if a Talmud is mechabit his Rebbe, yeshbo tosefes gedola ala kibud shemuchuyav the Chacham, and he says his chayv to the Rebbe kavod and mora, and where's it learned that from? Over the ima, the mocker of the sources for how one should treat a Rebbe. He says the Chafetz Chaim, he's learned that from a father and mother. There the Torah is more precise. Ishima biavatiro, and the Mishnah writes in Babatzi. You probably know the din of Rabbo Muvok. It's very interesting. Our Soloveitchik translator, you know what a Rav Muvok means? Your Rebbe par excellence. Now, how do you get a Rav Muvok? It's very hard to get that today. Very difficult. So the Gemara and the Pesukim say, what's a Rav Muvok? Rov Torah so himena. Most of the Torah I learned come from that Rebbe. That's called a Rav Muvok. Our Soloveitchik had a different translation. Rav Muvok is someone who essentially gave you a direction in life and put you on the path where you're going to become Baruch Hashem Yireh Shamayim, a Ben Torah, a Tzaddik, all of the above, like the Torah Shraga students, certainly Shana Bet and Shum Sabik, but even some Shana Al students are heading that direction, Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbu. I'm just saying that the that is a Rav Muvok. Now that's a Chiddush, what Rav Soloveitchik said, but I always thought that's mamish, the translation of Rav Muvok. I'm very misspoken from that. There were certain Rabbeim in my life that had a massive influence on me, no question about it. I had several of them. I mean, I used to stalk them, so I had a different situation than you did. So I had, at a very young age, I saw Gedolei Yisrael. My father, Hashem, would take me to hear, I don't know if you know the name Chalap. There's a famous rabbinic family called Chalap. The one that was most well-known was Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. He was a sort of a Talmud Chaver of Rav Kook Zatzal. He lived in Eretz Yisrael here in the 20s and 30s, etc. So going out there. So he has a son. His name was Avichil. Avichil Michal Chalap. He was a rabbi in a shul called the Bronx Jewish Center in the Bronx, New York, where I lived, where I grew up, actually. And he was a giant. He was a Yushalmi who came to Chutz Laretz. He couldn't make a living in Eretz Yisrael, and he came in the 30s to Chutz Laretz. My father would take me. He said a drush on Shabbos afternoon. I'm not exaggerating. To 500 people. In Yiddish. He spoke Yiddish and Hebrew. He didn't speak a word of English. He said a drush. And my father took me. How old was I? 5 or 6 years old. What in heaven's name was I doing at that drush? I didn't understand a word of what the man was talking about. My father took all of us. He didn't understand the issue. Of course, he had Mechabit, Tamil Chacham, Kavad Atel. He was the rabbi of the shul we davened in. And every shul I went to, my father had that approach. Is that the approach that people have today? Oh, you run for your life. My brother wouldn't tell this story about Baron David because he's a going in the tzaddik. He wouldn't tell the story. But this is a true story. There was Rosh Shiva the Mir here, by Benny Schwinkel, the tzaddik of Bracha, one of the Dole Ador, very quiet person. I actually knew him a little bit. Because he was operating in the 70s of my day when I was here in SSL. And so when he would come to say a Shira Kloli, this is reflective of what goes on today, they come to say a Shira Kloli, the Ohel Beis Medrash runs out, runs for their life, like they're escaping from a fire. So people didn't know who he was. He was such a tzanua person, so modest, that even though he was Shiva. So he would come up the stairs in the Bir Yeshiva, and they'd come running out, and he would say, quick, 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 faster, faster, Rosh Shiva's coming, Rosh Shiva's coming, quick, 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 run for your life. He was such a mother, such a tzaddua person. Today you don't even have to make that announcement. You just run anyway. The rabbi comes to give a drasha, everyone leaves. Kiddush club, whatever they do over there, I don't know. I was actually a rabbi, my first teshtela. I was a rabbi in the Bronx many, many years ago. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I used to give long drushas. You probably are aware of that. Those who know me. and the many people hold up Agra Bal Tesev and every other Isur imaginable. I just go on forever. That's my nature. And so I just basically follow my Rabbeim. So I'm really relatively short compared to the Rabbeim I had. They went on with Rav Soloveitchik, he said a shiur for 4 or 5 hours. He would say, let's say, one of these Chubadrushes, so one of these Yortzeit shiurim, he would start at 8 o'clock, and at 12 o'clock, he would, in Yiddish, he would say, the whole shiur was in Yiddish except for this line. Do you want more? So, of course, my answer was, no, we shouldn't put me both in, and I want to go home and go into my bed and leave me alone. That's what I said, and everyone else thought the same thing, the 2,000 people who were there. You think anyone's opened up their mouth? Not a soul. Oh! So he would say, all right, I'm very happy that you want more shtika koido. You're being quiet, is obviously means you want to go on for another hour. I come home at 2:30 in the morning. The train's in New York City. Buses, my mother, Aleha Shalom, thought, what in heaven's name is going on here? Who is that fellow? Why is he doing this? Why is he subjecting my son to this type of punishment? It wasn't punishment. I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 years old. It was gewaldic. It was outstanding. It was Gan Eden Atachton. The Rebbe used to say, when he gave a shiur on Motzei Shabbos in Boston, I used to come from Providence, Rhode Island. It was like an hour ride. And it was an hour after Shabbos, he would say the shiur, and it's an hour drive, so I had to get there on time. But once or twice, they stopped me over there, the state troopers. It's moving a little bit out on the quick side. I assume that the speed limit was 120, no? 120 miles per hour. The United States isn't that the speed limit going to Boston? And the guy stops me and says to me, looks at me, and right away one of them said to me, Rabbi, you were speeding. I said, what do you mean? I have to go to a lecture of one of the greatest rabbis in the world. So he decided to check it out to see if there was such a... He asked, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Maimonides in Boston. He gets on the phone, this state trooper. They didn't have cell phones, but he had a phone in the car. Gets the state trooper on the phone. He calls up. Somehow I got the number in my mind. He said, sure enough, there's a lecture being given by a Rabbi Soloveitchik, as he called it. Soloveitchik is giving a lecture, and I'm going to that lecture. You will not believe it. It was the first time in my life I didn't get a speeding ticket. He said to me, you're the first person I met who told me the truth. That's what he told me. Anyway, so... but he said, perhaps you could drive the speed limit like 50, 60 miles an hour, whatever it was over there. What's the limit on this? That's the turnpike?
65.
Something like 65, okay. But I was running to a mitzvah. Was that a heter, Rafi? No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
you heard it through anyway. Ah, Shem Mitzvah, Tere Magna Matzah. No masks, corona, everything goes. Go to weddings with 3,000 people, no problem at all. Who needs a mask? There's no corona. Why? Because Torah is above everything. Torah protection. That's why 600,000 plus people died in the United States. Oh, you say they were not observant. They weren't Torah Jews. We have to have a sense of proportion, a sense of balance. That usually doesn't exist unless one learns Torah for many, many years and learns by the right people, by the right Gedolei Yisrael, who are able to present to you in a balanced, proportionate kind of way, how one should examine these matters, etc., look at these things. Okay, but so there's certainly a very important obligation, not just for kibud of the aim, but mor of the aim, and the same thing applies also to great Talmidei Chachamim. And I'll be very honest with you, I've said this many, many times, that people ask me, I mean, the yeshiva last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, why do I believe in God? So I can give them all the philosophical proofs of existence of God. I took courses in philosophy, but it doesn't have much effect here in the yeshiva or anywhere for that matter, because most people don't read and most people stopped reading a long time ago, and you can't talk to them like that. So I told them a few years ago, when Trump was elected as President of the United States, that's to me an absolutely concrete proof that God exists. No doubt about it in my mind. That was one of the major proofs I had. They said, what? I said, how could anyone who is, let's put it nicely, sentient, intelligent, rational, dispassionate, objective, elect this, fill in the blanks, to be the President of the United States? How is that possible? Unless they came straight out of Bellevue Hospital. I have a psychiatric ward. And yet, I liked him a lot. I have to be honest. I liked him. I voted for him. Because look what he did for the state of Israel. I ran the Golan Heights, the embassy. Wow. Almost as if he was, no question. He was a godsend. He was a shliach of Hashem Yisbarach. I was convinced, by the way, I don't know, you know the Beis Halevi, you saw it, I've said it over many, many times, the Rav Soloveitchik was so fond of this Beis Halevi, beginning of Mikkeis, found the Droshes, found elsewhere the Beis Halevi. I mentioned it already many times, I'll say it again for those who don't remember, I'm sorry. I apologize to you, because you are an attentive student, and so all of you, so I repeat myself. Suddenly Pharaoh becomes a dreamer. After Mikesh Nasayim, asked the Beis Halevi, why does it say Mikesh? Why is Nasayim? Why Pharaoh Cholem in the present tense? What's going on? Quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says, a pasuk in Eov. What does Eov say? Job, that fellow. That's what the Medrash says. Pasuk in Eov. Hashem put an end to the darkness and Hashem examines everything. He's behind everything. Says the Medrash, interpreting this pasuk in Job, in Eov, that the time came for Yosef to be released from incarceration. And as a result, what happened? And Paro becomes a dreamer. Because you generally tend to look at the Pasha not that way. How do we look at the Pasha? In the following way. That Yosef, unfortunately, is languishing in prison and he goes from one situation to the other. Of course, he emerges from everyone and seems to be going up and then he goes down, going up, then going down. Finally, Yosef is called to interpret the dreams of the Sar Mashkin and Sar Ofim, correct? And he interprets them to their liking. And as a result, he gets the power of Elif Mitzrayim, who also has a dream. And can interpret the dream. Vayiva boger vatiporim rucho. Vayishlach vayikos kol chartumim. Mitzrayim is kol chachameh. Vayisaper parolam espar chalamo. Vein poser osom v'faro. No one can interpret the dream. And suddenly, vayidaber sa amashkim aparo leimus chatoi animaski vayom. Paro kotzav al avodom. Vayitin osi v'mishmar. Osi. I'm not going to read the whole Torah. But anyway, so, and as a result, Joseph interprets it, becomes the Mishnah of Malach Mitzrayim, the vice of the king of Egypt. So what was the cause and what was the effect? The cause was that Pharaoh had a dream and couldn't interpret the dream. And he called all those necromancers and dreamologists, and they couldn't help him. And Joseph comes to his attention, interprets the dream, and that's what happens. Says the Beis Halevi, to quote Rav Soloveitchik in Yiddish, I heard this also these thoughts from Rabbi Pam Zatzal, when I went to Shmuzin at the age of 13, 14. Geschichte, übergedreht auf den Kopf. In Yiddish that means turned upside down, history turned upside down. It's the completely distorted interpretation of everything. Namely, what did happen? I'll tell you what happened. Yosef, we had to carry out, he had to become the Mishnah of Melech Mitzrayim. Why? Because we had to get down to Mitzrayim. Why do we have to get down to Mitzrayim? Because the Bris Ben Absorim. Avram Avinu. Higer yaza acha b'yaretz lo vahem. V'avodum v'inu osam abba me'oshona. V'gam esagoy ashe avodu don anochi. V'achar chen yetzu v'chush gadol. So that had to happen. So how could that happen? So Hashem arranged that what? That one fine day, Paro has a dream. And he's flummoxed by the dream. And as a result of his frustration, Yosef comes his attention. So what was the cause? And what was the effect? The cause was that Yosef had to be released in the incarceration. So I said, you know why Trump became president of the United States? Because the state of Israel was in dire straits with Iran who wants to nuke us and the Golan Heights situation and the embassy. So therefore Trump became the president of the United States. He thinks he became the president because he's worthy of being the president. Anechtekatog, as they say in Chinese. And no sheikh is in the presidency. He's a successful businessman. Great. He should continue. He should have the ultimate success. But he became the president in order to help Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. It's pushing. Don't shoot him. That's how I see everything.
The UN.
The UN is the example Rabbi Soloveitchik always gives as his favorite example. The UN was created for one reason. To establish the state of Israel. 1948. Since then, they've done nothing. And before then, they did nothing. So they're worthless. A worthless organization. They know how to do one thing. Namely, Judaism, Israel is racist. We're like South Africa. Apartheid. That's what we're guilty of all day and all night. Apartheid. We just want to terrorize the Palestinians. You know, the Palestinians have been here for 4,000 years. We just arrived recently, about 73 years ago. We've never been here before. And that's what they're selling. Like Goebbels. Tamula Shikrit. Propaganda based on absolute, so without any foundation. So that's also the saying you saw there, Asalv, as you said. He basically, he's quoting his great grandfather, the Beis Halevi. He loved the Beis Halevi, and that's the saying you saw. I see this in my life. My entire life I see that. How did I get to Torah Shraga? Very severe. That was the worst thing that could happen for the yeshiva. So, somehow Hashem wanted me to be here. He wanted it to be a Torah Shraga, so he planted me over here. Isn't that the pshat? What else could it be? Recently I became a rav in a shul. I didn't think I'd have a mean of becoming a rav in a shul. I wanted a certain kind of rav, certain hashkafas. As you know, you can't put me in any box. Impossible. You don't know what I am. I don't think one day I'm very firm, one day I'm reformed, one day I'm conservative, one day I'm reconstructionist. The answer is no. I took the best of all possible worlds. I'm pretty firm, Baruch Hashem. Not too bad. I try to be redacting in every jot tittle of halacha, every sif and shulchan aruch. But other than that, I have certain other aspects of me, perhaps a bit of openness, which I think is a good thing. They asked me in my shul when I was interviewed, what are you? Modern Orthodox? Datibu me, or Haredi? I said, all of the above. I took the best of all three worlds. They had difficulty with that, because your world is a very black and white world that you live in today. I'm not into the black and white. I think there's a lot of gray. I'm sorry I'm saying that, but I hope you understand where I'm coming from. So it was all the Ribbono Shel Olam at work. I see everything in my life is the how the Ribbono Shel Olam. Someone told me in my shul, a very wonderful Talmid Chacham, he told me that my 25 years in Beit Shemesh was all in order to enable me to become the Rav of the shul. I'm the Rav presently based here. It's a bit slow to be a Rav, and I really thank Hashem Yisbarach for giving me that great opportunity. but this is how it works, cause and effect. The shul needed a rub, and so I happen to be not the cause, but the effect. And that's how it works. Everything in your life works that way. The jobs you get, the jobs you don't get, the girls you want to marry that you don't marry because for whatever reason they decide you're not the person, or you decide they're not the person. Baruch Hashem is uncanny how he operates. Uncanny. Me Hashem yotza adover. Everything is Hashem's barach. That's how I see my life. And I only have one advantage of you. You're much smarter than I am. Intellectual acuity is yours. I don't have any of that. But I have experience. And that's what I see, how Hashem operates and directs traffic in the world. I'm living here 25 years now. It's a Sokhan Yirbo for all of us, for you, for everyone. Well, call yourself. I hope all of you come and you'll bring some rationality to this country, some moderation, some balance. That's what we need desperately. And that's why I came. I came for that reason, to provide some this country with some balance. Have I succeeded? Maybe my own Dalaramas, perhaps. But that's what we need. Anyway, I'm going back to the Chiyuv to stand for a Chocham, for a Zokin, for a Talmud Chocham. So the deal is that, let me just end with this, that you have to stand for a Chocham Ad Sheyavur Mekineged Panav. What about, which means you're not a Mechuyah to go and stand for a Chocham the entire time. For a Rav Muvok, Kimlo Einav. That's a Gemara Kedushin. You have to, wow. As soon as you see him, you have to start like a Baron. So that's this is a very important set of halachas, and I think you should try your best to be mekayem of these halachas. Now, I'll just mention one more thing, and that we'll end with that. I was going to read the whole tshuva for you, but I'm not going to trouble you. There was a ger who wrote to the Rambam that he was being maltreated by apparently a Rebbe of his, and the Rebbe didn't speak to him properly. The Rebbe looked down upon him, and the Rambam absolutely goes crazy. He just simply loses it completely, and he said, did the Rebbe lose his mind? Did he forget about all the places where the Torah says about Onas Hager, maltreating a ger, a person who converted to Judaism, and he blesses him, gives him brachas. You know, the Rambam was very, he's a real brisker, very, very kutzor in his language, and yet when he came here, Rambam simply, so this is an area of halacha that many of us, Baruch Hashem, you're all B'nai Torah. You're all budding B'nai Torah. I see in this room, wow, in the future, Talmidei Chacham are coming out of this room. Echad ve'echad, each one of you individually, collectively, what a schus for Klal Yisrael to have such people. Mamish, growing B'nai Torah, and we see it. We see it right in front of us. That's what I see. I'm in the yeshiva 20 plus years, and I see what happened here. I'm a Masada Kedushin quite often. Not the last year. I avoided weddings like the plague. I didn't go to Chutz Aretz. I'm not unhappy about that. But anyway, I basically avoided doing that, which I'm probably supposed to do in some respects at the Rosh Hashiva. But I saw unbelievable things. I saw people learning and studying Torah. So I don't think, in my case, I told the young man, you're not mechuyev to speak to me in the third person. Absolutely not. I'm not of that stature. I don't fit into any of that. But I think to others, that's what you should try to do. To the rabbeim and the yeshiva, they're worthy of it. I think they're fine talmidei chacham, is what I can see. And I think one should try to treat them with the proper derechos, which I'm sure all of you do. Hashem should bless you. You should be zeichet to the seva talking the adam and the zokim the oresim elokecha and the Hashem.
Amen. Back over there. I don't know where it goes.